Good morning, Oasis family. It's good to see you all. So for anyone who doesn't know, my name is Asher, and I head up the children's work here at Oasis. And actually, I feel like I've spent so much more time in Sunday school than I have in here that I've almost forgotten how to talk to adults. So to make it just a little bit easier for me, if you need the toilet, can you raise your hand? It's only two biscuits each. And those who have behaved the best, there's a lollipop for you at the end. So if you were here a few weeks back, you might remember that we had finished our term next door in Sunday school. And so we decided, just before the kids broke up for the summer holidays, we brought them on stage and we showed off some of their work, and we prayed for them as we broke up for the, or as they broke up from the school for the summer holidays. And that felt right. It made sense for us to share their work, to encourage them, to encourage you, and to pray for them. You know, that's what we do as a church family. So that made a lot of sense. Personally, I'm a bit of a realist, and actually having 20 children on stage at the end of the service when it's lunchtime and they can see their parents and they've had enough is a bit of a nightmare. And it's interesting that Pastor Robin mentioned this morning about an alignment of head and heart, because I really felt in my spirit that was the right thing to do. That was my heart. But in my head, I was thinking, this isn't going to work. There's actually there's a brilliant quote that I shared with the Sunday school team when we last met, and it's a quote by Francis Chan, and it says that our greatest fear should not be of failure, but of succeeding at things in life that don't really matter. And the reality is that we're most likely to succeed at things in life that we put our efforts and attention on. And so this got me thinking about, Where do we focus our efforts? What do we think about? What is it that we think makes sense in life, or doesn't make sense? And I jotted a few things down, and it wasn't until afterwards that I realised that they were all food related, which probably makes sense because I think I was waiting for dinner at the time. So I'm going to rattle a few of these off. These are genuine things that I've sat and pondered. So have you ever noticed that some chocolate bars are marketed as fun size? Like, they're the smaller ones. What's fun about less chocolate? Pizza. Let's take pizza. Okay, so pizza comes in a square box. It's baked in a circle, but we eat it in triangles. Fish fingers. Can anyone name a fish that's got fingers? I don't know. Okay, and this one, I've spent hours on this one, and I have an answer if anyone wants to see me at the end. Okay. Why do sausages come in eights when hot dog rolls come in sixes? Just doesn't add up. Doesn't make sense to me. The reality is that some things in life, some things on this earth, just don't make sense. And I think it's important for us as Christians not to allow ourselves to be distracted by the things going on around us. Okay? Sometimes what makes sense for the kingdom doesn't make earthly sense. So here at Oasis, we have a strap line, which is loving God, loving others, loving ourselves. And actually, that doesn't make sense in the world, to prioritise loving God. Who's he? What does he do for me? Loving others? Really? I've got to think about other people. Loving ourselves, oh, that I can do, that makes sense. It might be a different interpretation of loving yourself, but that makes sense. And so all of this to say that my message this morning is quite a simple one, which is something that I feel God's been placing on my heart for a while now, which is that we should be focusing more on what makes sense for the kingdom and less about what we think makes sense for us. What makes sense for me, my family, my routine? It's his kingdom at the end of the day. I've got a really good friend who, good friends are those that keep you grounded. And my friend keeps me grounded. And he reminds me often, he says, it's not all about you, you know. And I wonder if you can turn to the person next to you, encourage them with that. Tell them, it's not all about you, you know. You see, the thing is, if we're going to understand God's motives, his intentions, or his instructions, then we need to focus on what it is that makes sense for the kingdom. And of course, by the kingdom, I'm talking about his works. 1 Corinthians 2:14 says this: the person without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, but considers them foolishness and cannot understand them because they are discerned only through the Spirit. And you know, when you read through the Bible, there's lots of examples of things that in reality, in a earthly perspective, don't really make sense. Abraham and Isaac, for example, that we heard this morning, being asked to sacrifice your own son. I don't get that. Or even Jesus dying on the cross. That's God sacrificing his own son. One such example of this can be found in 1 Samuel 16. And so we pick up this story in the middle of a long military campaign against the Philistines. And God rejects Saul as king. Israel needs a new leader who's going to listen to God's voice. So he sends Samuel to find and anoint a replacement from Jesse's family. And at first, Samuel is tempted to make the same mistake that Israel had made before. He wants to anoint the tallest and the strongest son. That made sense to Samuel. If you want someone as a leader, you want someone who's got a presence. But God reminds Samuel that he's not looking for someone who's impressive on the outside, but rather he's looking at people's hearts. That makes more sense for the kingdom. So we pick up in verse 7, which says, "But the Lord said to Samuel of David's brothers, 'Don't judge by his appearance or height, for I have rejected him. The Lord doesn't see things the way you see them. People judge by outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart.' And so David, the youngest, smallest, weakest, and most easily forgotten son, becomes God's chosen king. And I'm sure you'll know that the rest is then history. But I wonder how many of us in Samuel's shoes would have gone into that house, that environment, Jesse's family, with that same sort of mindset. I'm looking for a leader. I think I know what a good leader would look like. I know what I'm looking for. How readily can we assess a situation or pursue solutions for challenges without fully understanding the true impact on the kingdom, without weighing up how God wants us to proceed? Colossians 3, verses 1 to 3 says, "Since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things, for you died and your life is now hidden with Christ in God." And you know, actually, some days can feel like a real struggle. We get weary in the battles, we get stuck in tough places, or feel pressure in the heat of hard times. And though it's true that we can never fully escape all the mess this world might bring our way, because we live in a fallen place, we can choose to rise above it. And right in the midst of whatever we face, we can remain steadfast, strong, and faithful. Not because we're strong in ourselves, but because he is strong. And as believers, God's Spirit lives powerfully within us. Being able to rise above the fear, temptations and hard places of this life is wrapped around the truth of who we are in Christ. We are redeemed. We are set free. We are being renewed day by day. We are his workmanship in Christ Jesus. We are a new creation. We're made new as believers in him and are continually being made new. For it's a constant process until we're in heaven. This means that we must choose to take off the old self, letting go of all the habits, patterns, and sins, and taking up the new, focusing our thoughts and heart on Christ's truth. This requires action on our part to continue to seek him daily. We're not just going to naturally think God's thoughts automatically. Unfortunately, our sinful nature is strong, and the enemy wants nothing more than to make us fall. So it becomes a daily battle and a choice we must make to walk in God's ways. In the book of Colossians, we've just read, Paul reminds us that we have everything we need when we have Christ. He's all sufficient. He's the head over all. He is supreme. He is greater than any other power or authority. And because of this, as Christ followers, we have his spirit within us to equip and empower us to walk in freedom in light. So Colossians 3:2-3, remember it says, set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. Now, I've never gone there to the Greek, but I'm going to attempt it here. So, the Greek word here for set means to seek after, to strive for, or be intent on. It tells us that this must be a way we choose to live. It's not something that just occurs one time and then we can forget about it. It's a way of living that allows us to be set free from the things of this world that would seek to hold us back and keep us down. So if I read that again with the translation of the Greek, set your minds on the things above. Seek after the things above. Strive for the things above. Be intent on the things above. To set your minds on the things above is to look at life from God's perspective and to seek after what he desires. Because remember, it's his kingdom at the end of the day. In Romans 8 verse 5, for those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. And you know, this is the best cure for materialism and temptation in this life, because we can't truly live this out without learning to let go of worldly desires. It recognises the need for us to place our full affection, thinking, focus, attention on heavenly things above, rather than the lust, greed, and sin that encompasses this world. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ. This reminds us of our desires for the things of this world should be as much as a person who is already dead, which is none. Our lives are hidden, kept safe, concealed under the authority and covering of God's sheltering care. This is another great reason to let go of the burdens and attitudes of this present life, for they should hold no power over us. Okay, so as a realist, how do we go from saying that we're going to set our minds on the things above and focus on things that make sense for the kingdom? How do we go from saying that's where we want to be to actually being there? So I've got a few things to make it easier for us. Okay. Firstly, we have to make the choice daily. Philippians 4, verses 6 to 7 says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. We need to pray. Confess our need for him. Confess any sin we've been holding on to that's difficult to let go of. We need to ask him for the help of his Holy Spirit. He may show us things that we weren't aware that had caused our downward spiral into sin or despair. He may lead us to make better decisions, to let go of toxic attitudes or relationships. And he may guide us, he will guide us, into healthy new places, because that makes sense for the kingdom. Amen. The truth is that if we're not coming to him daily, asking for his help, seeking to hear his word, opening up his word, praying and thanking him for the work that he's doing in our lives, then we will never be fully able to set our minds on the things above. We can't just operate in our flesh trying to live out his word. It doesn't work. The number one way to begin to see things from God's perspective is to come before him daily or many times during the day, learning to walk with him and recognize his power and presence in our lives. God loves us more than we could ever know. He longs to help us, and he is always there. His words of life remind us that he is our strong tower. He promises to draw near to those who are seeking him, and he's faithful to see us through the struggles of this world. Second, we can choose to listen to God's voice and not the lies of the enemy. John 8 verse 32 says, "And you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." You know that God has a plan for our lives, one that makes sense for the kingdom, but the enemy has a plan for us too. We just have to decide which voice we're going to listen to and who we're going to choose to follow each day. And chances are that if we don't make a determined choice to follow God, then we may eventually fall into a trap of the enemy. And the Bible tells us about the enemy. It tells us that he is a twister of truth. He's deceptive, and he's the father of lies. But actually, he's pretty good at what he does. And he becomes very in tune with what our weaknesses are and will use anything he can to bring us down. As we keep pressing in to know God, who is real, who is truth, and we set our minds on his word, spending time there, meditating on it, eventually we become very trained in detecting the fake. Thirdly, we can put on the armour of God. Ephesians 6, verses 13 to 18 tells us, "Therefore, put on the full armour of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything to stand, stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints." God's given us very specific instructions in his word. He gives us all we need to stand strong in this life and to keep our eyes on him. And it makes sense for the kingdom for God to deliver on what his promise is going to deliver on. Yet, actually, it's all too often that we race through life with busy days, ill-equipped, unprepared, or simply not aware of what we're up against or who the real enemy even is. The forces of darkness don't wait for us to be ready for their attack. If you're a believer living like salt and light in this dark world, you're not going to go long without encountering obstacles and attacks the enemy is going to hurl your way. It's a real battle. Yet, God's given us his word and spirit, so we'll have the wisdom to rise above and the protection to stand firm against the enemy. And actually, Paul wrote these verses whilst in prison. Truth says, this enemy we face can never chain our spirits that have been set free by Christ. Paul was not silenced by the attacks from dark forces, and neither should we be. The battles we face may be more about what is unseen rather than what is seen. And fourthly, guard your heart. We read in Proverbs 4, verse 23, it says, "Above all else, Guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. Our inner thoughts, our words, even what's spoken to us, it really matters. For it can hold the power to run our lives and dictate our choices. All the more reason to make sure that our thinking is based on truth, on what God says. Guard, protect, to keep safe, your heart, innermost being, which represents the very core of our thoughts, our mind, our actions and decisions, for everything we do flows from that. It's that vital. All of our lives depend on that choice to guard our heart and set our mind on the things above. And when we fill our thoughts, our minds, our hearts with the right things, the wrong things won't have room to enter in. His word, his truth, offers protection, a guard over our hearts and lives, for our decisions and our thoughts. Casting our cares onto him, releasing our problems and burdens, seeking forgiveness over sin, doesn't give room for us to just sit numbly with anxious thoughts spinning. Choosing not to stress or walk out old patterns is an active choice we must make. It's not about pretending like we don't have worries or ignoring our problems or living a life of passivity, but it requires effort on our part, choosing to give God our struggles, and it requires trust on our part, letting go and remembering that he is in control. A final encouragement to conclude. In Isaiah 41, verse 10, it says, "So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous hand." I don't know about you, but I want to be a Christian who focuses on what God focuses on, to pursue what makes sense for his kingdom rather than what I think makes sense for my life. And remember, to set your mind on the things above is to look at life from God's perspective, and it's to seek after what he desires. And you know, doubt is probably one thing that we've all struggled with at some point. Maybe we can't see what God is doing. Maybe the difficult times cause us to wonder if he really cares or if he can hear us. Or maybe we've been left wondering if we're hearing him right. Often the future looks uncertain, the path gets blurred, and we're not sure if we're heading in the right direction. Other times, life is just hard. It seems an uphill climb, we're drained and we're weary. Or we wonder if we've just been left on our own. But his truth reminds us that he's always with us. Our with us God will never leave us or turn away. He holds us through the fiercest struggles and brings peace to uncertain times. And there's no greater way to build stronger faith than to walk straight through the toughest of battles. For that's the very ground where we must decide what we really believe and who we really believe. And as we set our minds on Christ, it becomes the place where doubts get crushed and confidence in him can grow deeper and fuller. And you know, it's funny because the world will never tell you to live that way, because it goes against the very mindset of current popular opinion. But, newsflash, we weren't set free to fit in. We've been changed to make a difference. And there's a verse here from Romans 12, verse 2, from The Message, which I think sums this up quite well. And it says, "Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. That's scrolling endlessly through social media. That's spending money that we haven't got. That's putting your children into sports and clubs on a Sunday morning when it clashes with church. Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. Readily recognise what he wants from you. That's by spending time with him, genuine, undistracted time, connecting with him. And quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, God brings the best out of you and develops well-formed maturity in you. Amen.